This is Murky Chronicles episode 39, and we are back. I am Zayfullah, the Butcher Dabashi.
And I am the gorgeous one, Kenny Roberts.
You know, how you doing, brother? You know, yesterday was Friday the 13th, and I had this whole show produced around Friday the 13th. And, you know, things happen on Friday the 13th. We couldn't connect. So I guess that's a Friday the 13th curse. Did you have plans? And how you been doing?
I've been doing good. How about you, man? Yeah, it's been a hot minute, dude. It's been, at least 6 weeks since we've had a show, hasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I feel refreshed, you know, taking the month of Ramadan off. And, relax, and I have, you know, things going, trying to get the Dabashi's Neighborhood Corner Store up and going with the Pacific Northwest Pro Wrestling Museum. And my goal is, in the office, have the little studio in there so I could do it live from Dabashi's Neighborhood Corner Store.
Well, I understand you're a little busy, but I tell you what, we did have plans yesterday, brother. I reached out to you time and time again, and somehow your phone was on snooze. I don't even know. I was going straight to voicemail. Yeah, I'm sounding like a little bitch right now, but come on, man. It was the 13th. We should have made it happen.
Well, you know, okay, let me tell you something, brother. So I reached out to you, and you said, okay, let's do it Friday around 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock my time. So I was driving, and I could pull up. I wish people could see our. We're on Zoom right now. I could pull up the text, and you're like, change of plans. You want to do it after 9 p.m. or tomorrow morning? And I was like, tomorrow morning's fine. So
yeah, because you just wanted to go gambling last night.
Baloney. Yeah. Well, we end up not playing Monopoly. We end up just chilling and watching clips of 90 Day Fiancé and some old wrestling matches.
I know
we got a treat though. At the end of the show, we're going to be playing from 1964 Golden Records. This is the full vinyl album, and it's At Home with the Munsters, A Night with TV's
what?
A Night with TV's Most Unusual Family. And yes.
Is that something you have in your collection?
Matter of fact, yes, I do.
Well, make sure you put a little penny on that record player. That way it don't skip.
Oh, you mean on the needle?
Yep, up on the needle.
Yeah. But I don't mean to jump around here, but, you know, Rob Zombie, you know, is planning on doing the Munsters. You know, you hear anything about that?
I've seen just a few of the little pictures he's put out, man. I don't know. I'm struggling with it in color, for one thing. And they better be better than the original. Otherwise, it's going to be horrible.
Yeah, but, you know, some of the original Munsters were in color.
Yeah, well, just the movie, I believe it was.
Oh, was it just the movie?
Munster Go Home. I think so. I don't think any of the TV series was the original. Because they did do, like, a reboot in the 80s.
Yeah, on TBS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, man. It looks like you're I don't know, through Zoom here, man. It looks like your glasses are steaming up, dude. Did I make you that mad? Are you, I get you a little hot and bothered by calling you out for yesterday?
No, I have the window open in the studio. The studio in my office gets really hot, like a sauna.
Dude, I thought it was just bad imaging on the Zoom, but, your glasses were steamed up, man.
Oh, you know you love looking at my eyes. You know you love looking at my eyes, even though you dogged us yesterday to watch Friday the 13th, Freddy versus Jason.
The only reason I like to look in your eyes so I can see a reflection of myself.
Ooh.
You know, that was good. That was good.
That was good. That
All
was
right.
good.
So, yeah. So, anything new, man? Anything have you... You know, any sightings or anything happened your way out there in the Tacoma, Washington area?
I just want to say to all our fans, you know, I've been, you know, cooped up with my leg. We'll talk about your injury, but my leg and, you know, doctor said I'm 100%, but I mean, my foot's stable. I'm not 100%. And, but like, even when I went to go pray during Ramadan, I had to use a chair because I can't kneel all the way down to my knee because I'm in constant pain and I have nerve damage, but they approved my, surgery to do some kind of nerve work. And, yeah, they said, cause I'm in chronic pain all the time. I'm allergic to the nerve blockers. And so I'm kind of been living in agony, but you know what? I'm going to get through it. And as for sightings, no, I might've seen a couple hairy females walking down Pacific Avenue, but that's about it. But how's your arm?
Were they swinging their arm up and down pretty far?
No, they were swinging side to side.
Side to side.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, my bicep's getting better, but my shoulder's messed up, so that's the next go around, man. MRIs and tests, and well, hopefully that's going to be come out okay. But
Well, to all my wrestling fans out there, hopefully I'll be out kicking soon, but once I'm mended up and once gorgeous Kenny Roberts mended up, we have a couple more dances to set our score, you know.
Yep, we got a few receipts to cash in.
Oh yeah, but I don't like to take receipts. I don't accept receipts. 30-day minimum return policy.
Oh no, you're like Costco. I've got up to a year. Well, it's been over a year. We're more like 10 years, but
I'm better than Costco. How you like that?
I like that sound bite. I like
Well, like, shoot, like, you know, I know we've been saying we're going to have some guests on, but, you know, late last couple months been kind of crazy, Ramadan, and you're busy with your stuff and personal life, and I am, but, you know, and I'm going to get lyrical spit going, too. Like I said, I took at least had to, you know, gather my thoughts during Ramadan and get back and into my aura. And so we are going to have, you know, our guest on and take it to another level. But, you know, we did get some emails and we got some emails to catch up on. But before we do that, is there anything else you want to talk about?
You know, I think I've pretty much covered. I gave you a hard enough time, man. I was so worked up about yesterday. I think I'm over it now. It's better.
Well, I'm not over it. So, you said you're going to call me at 6 o'clock and we'll get it going. And I set my alarm clock to 4 o'clock in the morning just to be all ready for you and showered up. And then
why are you going to be showered up for a podcast?
Cause it makes better for airing. And I groomed and didn't nick myself and Cocoa buttered me up and put some beard balm on my thing. And
Oh my goodness. And then
I text you, are you awake? Man. And you're like, oh man, I need to get some coffee and breakfast. I'm like, man, I've been waiting for 4 hours for you.
Man. Everything that's good is worth waiting for.
Yeah.
And I'm worth the wait. So you put your crickets away.
All right, man.
All I was about ready to go on a rant. I had to hold back. I had to maintain.
Well, hey, before we get to the emails.
Three extra shots. What's up?
Before we get to our emails, you know, I know how much you love my jokes. And I got about 20 Friday the 13th jokes, which I'm going to say on Friday the 14th.
You got 20?
I got 20, baby.
Pick the top five, man. Don't torture us.
All right.
We got to ease our listeners back with your bad jokes.
All right.
Man. Do the five top ones.
All right. What day do eggs hate the most?
What day?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, my. That wasn't bad. I like it.
Why does Freddy Krueger wear a hat?
Why does Freddy Krueger wear a hat? I don't know. Why does he?
He ran out of scare spray.
Oh, my goodness.
What's Jason Voorhees' favorite dessert?
I don't know. What's his favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
Oh, man.
All right. What do you get when you cross Jason Voorhees and a box of Cheerios? You should know this one.
I don't know.
A serial killer.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I know I've heard that one before. That was, I think it might have been different characters they put in line with that. It wasn't really.
Okay. Well, how about this one? What Great Lake should you avoid on Friday the 13th?
Ooh, what Great Lake? Great Lake. I don't know. What Great Lake?
Lake Erie.
Nice.
Dear Jedi, today is Friday the 13th. There's never been a better time to join the dark side. There's a Friday the 13th in this December, a nightmare before Christmas, some may say.
Oh.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Be
who?
Be aware, it's Friday the 13th. Okay, here's a good one. What happens when Black Friday falls on Friday the 13th?
I don't know what happens.
Prices get slashed.
Ooh.
All right, here's number five.
Your count is horrible. I think you've done like 10.
Oh, okay. What's Jason Voorhees' favorite bean?
I don't know. What's that?
A human bean.
Oh, my. Well, okay. Since you've gone through almost all of your 20 jokes, you may as well finish it up.
Okay. No problem. I will. Okay. I was gonna save it for a later day, but okay. I'll go through these real quick. There's a serial killer in town who works at the bakery. They call him Freddy Krueger.
Oh my.
What do Italians eat on Friday the 13th?
I don't know. What do Italians eat on the 13th? Yeah,
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh my.
All right, we're at 13. Knock, knock.
Okay. Who's there?
Ice cream. Who?
Who?
Ice cream, you scream, we all scream because it's Friday the 13th. You know you like that one.
That one's good.
All right, 14. What song does Jason Voorhees sing on Friday the 13th? If you get this one, I'll give you $20.
I don't know.
Taking care of business.
Man, they're getting worse. You did pick the best.
You want to hear the last five? I could have wrote down all 100 of them, but.
Oh, man.
But I thought about these when I was sleeping.
You didn't pay for these, did you?
No, I made them up. I was sleeping, and I thought these up.
You were sleeping.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You were Italian. You wrote them down in your sleep?
Sure did.
Freaking amazing.
Yep. When does Jason Voorhees tell a joke?
I don't know. When does he tell a joke?
Okay, this don't make sense. No. I'll back up. When Jason Voorhees tells a joke, it kills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Why didn't the skeleton want to go to the Friday the 13th dance?
What was that again?
Why didn't the skeleton want to go to the Friday the 13th dance?
I don't know why.
Because he had nobody to go with.
Oh, man.
All right. The last three.
All right. You got a drum roll? You got a drum roll for the last one?
No, I don't.
Well, that might be something we could work on down the road.
Okay.
But unless you just want to.
Okay, we could do that. Okay. What pants do ghosts wear to the Friday the 13th dance?
I don't know.
Boo jeans.
Oh, yeah.
All right. 18. What key opens a haunted house?
You kind of broke up there. What was that again?
What key opens a haunted house?
I don't know what key does open a haunted house.
A spooky.
Oh.
All right, last two. Best one's really good, you'll like. Why don't Americans worry about Friday the 13th?
I don't know. Why don't they worry about Friday the 13th?
And this pertains to right now. After looking at their home, job, and 401k, nothing scares them anymore. All right. Here's the last one. What's that?
Well, you had a little drum, but that's just a little...
Okay. What do evil spirits sing on Friday the 13th?
What's that?
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow.
All right.
There you go. That was
painfully awesome. Thank you.
I know you love it. You love my jokes.
You butchered those jokes.
That's right, baby. Hoos! All right. So, do you want to go through our emails and catch up?
Yep. Let's do it.
There was a family of tomatoes rolling down the street. What did the father say to the small tomato because he was so slow?
Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Hurry up and catch up.
All right. Oh, man.
I did.
I like my answer better.
All right. Well, all right. So, do you want to read the email or you want me to read the first one?
I'll go ahead and I'll read the first one. You'll take the second, huh? Is that cool?
Sounds good with me.
Or yeah. Okay. So, it looks like we got one from Jesus Walker. Thank you for sending an email to mercurychronicles@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
It says, you've mentioned you were going to have a paranormal investigator, Bob Gilmer, on Murky Chronicles. Will he still be a guest on the show? Keep up the great work.
Well, yes, he is. We just been playing, tag, and he's got a couple podcasts. He's on a couple paranormal shows, but as soon as we get our stuff together and connect, he's going to be on. Well, and he has some interesting clips he wants us to check out.
Awesome.
Audio clip. So, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. I can't wait.
All right.
Your turn, brother.
Okay. This is from Fabian Kaster. Emailed Murky
Kaster?
Kaster. Like K Fabian?
K-E-Y Kaster?
It says K-A-Y, like Mary Kay.
Oh, I don't have my glasses on, man. I thought it was Keister. Okay, go ahead.
I kind of thought that because do you groom with your glasses on or off?
Just depends.
All right. You wear depends too?
Oh, you know what?
I do. That's when I wore them so I didn't have to get up and get interrupted when I wrote those jokes.
I definitely wear glasses when I groom. I've made that mistake once. I won't do that again. We won't go into detail.
All right. I have an F, Mary, kill for you.
What?
You know, F, Mary,
kill. Those are like one of my favorite things. We've never done this before. I'm excited.
Oh, we haven't? Okay. So who would you F, Mary, kill? Elvira, Lily Munster, or Morticia?
Okay, I would F Elvira. I would kill Morticia, and I would marry Lily Munster.
You know what? That's exactly what I was going to say, because Morticia, I mean, I thought she looked good. I was always more of a Munster's fan. Morticia kind of had a big forehead, I thought.
Yeah, but she did, like, when he would talk, what was
French,
he talk like?
French?
French. Oh, she loved that, man. So that was kind of hot.
So why'd you want to kill her, though?
Because she's the ugliest out of the three.
Okay. Lily Munster, man. Have you seen her model pictures?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a rock star, dude. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think
there would be no there'd be no Elvira if there was no Lily Munster, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I agree with you. F. Elvira, Mary Lily. Didn't she go by Lillian?
Oh, I think so.
But her Lily no, was her nickname.
No, I think her name was Vivian, wasn't it?
No. I mean in the on the show.
Well, no, I think it was Lily. I don't know.
Lily, I thought her. I could have sworn Herman called her Lillian sometimes. But Lily for sure. So what was the normal girl on there? What was her name on the
Marilyn?
Show? Yeah, Marilyn. Maybe I got that mix of Lillian and Marilyn.
Oh, maybe. And she had that Marilyn Monroe look about her. Yeah.
But I thought Lily was better looking though.
I love the fact that they just thought she was the ugliest.
Yeah.
That's so good, man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Genius. That's so genius. Yeah.
That is. Oh, man. Are you sure today's not Friday the 13th?
I don't know why. What's going on?
I forgot to hit the record button.
Oh, whatever. Get out of here.
I'm just joking.
All right, man. I'm going to read you one here.
All right.
You're so funny. From Jason Cooper.
Word up.
For emailing. Since you two are pro wrestlers, who was your most scariest wrestler growing up?
You want to go first or?
No, you go ahead, man. I read it.
Oh, okay. Well, shoot. Man, there are so many, but I would have to say I remember watching the Great Kabuki on Georgia Championship Wrestling was one. The original Sheik, Abdullah the Butcher, Kevin Sullivan. I mean, that's the only ones that really stuck out in my mind. I mean, but the funny thing is, it's funny because I'm good friends with Abdullah the Butcher and Kevin Sullivan now. And a shout out to Talk is Jericho, Chris Jericho's podcast, for having Abdullah and I on and referee Danny Lincoln and Miss Malika on and talking about Abdullah's situation. And he does have a GoFundMe, so look up Abdullah the Butcher and listen to Talk is Jericho to Abdullah the Butcher's story. But
man, you went on and on about that. I thought you were picking out scary wrestlers, man.
Oh yeah, well, since I brought up Abdullah, I figure I'd throw a shout out to him and Chris Jericho, the sports entertainer. But no, I think I know it's kind of hard, but I don't know. For some reason, those I mentioned, thought was scary, but when I was real little, I don't know, Great Kabuki always stuck in my mind, throwing the miss, and I thought no one could, I don't know. But yeah, those are my few. How about you?
You know, I didn't watch wrestling when I was real young. I was probably early teens, so I think I didn't get really anything. We didn't get anything really on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot more going on over there. So, in the magazines, I saw Sullivan and the guy that was with him.
Oh, Purple Haze.
Purple Haze. You know, I saw a picture of him coming up through the mat.
Yeah.
I've never seen that again. Coming up through, and his head was like coming up through the
Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't count that.
Oh, okay.
But it's recycled. That was an all time new for me, and it was like, but I only saw pictures of it. I never saw actual, live footage of it. Recorded. So yeah, I think Sullivan, and then even though he wasn't scary, Andre the Giant, dude, he was a giant. I remember seeing him, dude, and I was like, oh man.
Yeah, but was he scary though?
Big dude.
He was always
a scary big dude. I would have been afraid of him when I was a kid for sure. Just seeing him was like, it was amazing.
See, I got a different vibe from Andre because he was always a face, and
when he came to town for Don Owens, he was always a baby face, always.
Yeah, wasn't he always except for recent when he was in.
Yeah,
his last years.
I mean, just like scary looking.
Yeah.
Not as portrayed. Just if I was going to be scared of a wrestler, and he didn't even have to try. He was just that big.
Yeah.
He was a freak.
You know, I was watching I don't know if you saw it when they did, I think, WWE Treasures or something like that. And they were looking for Andre the Giant stuff. And Mark Henry never met Andre the Giant. And he was in tears every time he talked about Andre, because he said Andre was one of his favorite. And I don't know, Mark Henry seemed like he's just a genuinely good guy. And yet, he was just like, he was always, when he was talking about Andre and Hilda's stuff, I was like, wow, it was really heartfelt.
Yeah, that's crazy. At one time, my other job, I worked at the airport, and I was standing behind Mark Henry in line at a Starbucks.
No way.
And I had no idea it was him, and he was huge. I'm 6'4", 260, and I felt like a beanpole next to this guy. This guy was big.
Did you have any interaction with him?
I didn't. Nope. I let him be, man. You know, I don't bother guys unless they look approachable. And, you know, when you're in line at Starbucks, he didn't turn around and want to BS or nothing like that. So I just let him be. But he was definitely a freak in size as well.
I was going to say, nowadays it just seemed like wrestling's changed so much. I mean, I don't know. There's really no real, you know, out of the newer wrestlers though, and even when we were in the business, I thought Mankind, when he first came to WWE, he was actually kind of scary.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, my son, he was afraid of the boogeyman.
Oh, yeah.
They played him out pretty good.
I bet you, I could see that. He was young, but I could see
the worms in his mouth, and
I think the boogeyman would have been more effective back in the day.
But, yeah. What's that?
I think the boogeyman, though, if he had his gimmick back in the day, what we're talking about, it'd be a whole different story.
Yep.
But I don't think there's really no wrestler really, you know, scary to that effect, you know? It's a different time and different era.
Yep.
But I heard the Purple Haze lives over here in my neck of the woods in, I think, Olympia or Thurston County. That's what I heard.
Really? And then Sullivan lives over
Woodby Island
in Washington. Yep.
But
that's crazy.
Yep. So like, hopefully, you know, that when I get the store open, you know, I have the little studio in the office and, you know, have wrestling memorabilia, and hopefully maybe get some of the Purple Haze stuff in there, and, you know, a lot of the happenings that happen in the Pacific Northwest, you know. And I would love absolutely to get like some early Tacoma Dome programs.
Absolutely.
But anyways, that's enough reminiscing, I guess.
Okay. Well, we'll move on. It's your turn.
Sarah Jordan emailed murkychronicles@gmail.com. Since it is Friday the 13th, what is the grossest thing that you ever saw?
Grossest thing. Let me think here. That's a tough one. I think the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I won't pinpoint an actual time, but you know when you go to the beach?
Yeah.
There's some violators out there that just shouldn't. They're pretty comfortable with themselves, and that's good for them, but just sometimes people just don't look very appealing when they're
exhibitionists. When
they're not in the, yes.
You know, so. I haven't been to one of those like nude beaches, but it seems to me all that I've seen like on stores and stuff, they're all like kind of old and out of shape.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all swingers or something, you know. They don't care.
Yeah, what's up with the
Oh, but what's that? No, go ahead.
What's up with the pineapple? And I never knew until recently through TikTok about pineapple, upside down pineapples and swingers, a connection.
Yeah, there was a spot here outside of Boise, the little town. They always said it was a swinger town, that they had a pineapple on their front porch or on their car or whatever. It was like, I don't know that I've ever seen. I didn't go look around trying to find one, but no, but otherwise, I've, you know, when I was a kid, I saw a real bad accident, and I saw some gross stuff, you know, people injured. That's pretty horrifying.
But oh, wow.
It's definitely been tainted on my, on my heart, right? That's something I'll never forget. So that's as gross as besides movies, that's, you know, fake, but, you know, a lot of gross movies out there, but.
Okay.
How about you? What you got?
Well, I've seen a lot of gross stuff, but I don't know. I told you this story. I'm sure you heard it. So a few years ago, Chief Atakulakula, this is when we were feuding and we were in the main event, second night at the AIWF Hall of Fame reunion in North Kakalaki, North Carolina, Mount Airy, home of Aunt B, and that's where they shot and the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So we ate at Aunt B's restaurant. So it was me and Chief and one of Chief's students. His name was Sam Lancaster, big, heavy guy. He was just a big, big guy. Loved himself. I mean, he was a great worker, nice friend, all that. But we're always playing ribs on each other. And I'm always doing, I can't remember. I did a lot of stuff. So they decided one day to get me back. We're getting ready to go to this hall, the first night of the Hall of Fame, or the first night of the two-night event. So I'm in the bathroom with Chief, and Sam Lancaster, Samuel Moon, in the hotel room. Next thing you know, I heard it got real quiet. So I'm sitting here, and then, you know, this is a big guy, you know. And I went to open up the bathroom door, and he had a chair, butt naked, legs up in the air, and all I saw was his balls and butthole.
Ah.
And I freaked out, slammed the door. Oh, my gosh. I seen his meat and potatoes. And they were laughing, and he wouldn't leave. I stayed in the bathroom for like a half hour. He wouldn't get out. So that was probably the grossest thing. So if you ever talk to the chief or anything, ask him about meat and potatoes. He'll know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah. If you thought my stuff was hairy and gross, oh, my gosh. But those were some good times. But, yeah, they got me good. I was pranking all.
What about?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man.
No, go ahead.
What are you going to ask you about that guy down in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, but you're talking about El Gran Baby? Oh, man, let me tell you something, El Gran Baby. Love you, brother, but you got a receipt coming. So the night before I won the title, me and him had a match, and this was anticipated. And he's known for his stink face, and Rikishi has nothing about his stink face. Even though Rikishi has a good stink face, Chief has a good stink face, but Samuel Moon stuff was a lot grosser. But this was, it's a tie. So next thing you know, I get stink faced in the ring, you know, and I end up, you know, attacking him, getting my revenge, but he had came from work and made it to the event, and we just wrestled. And he was like, I was like, dude, did you shower? Because no, man, I didn't have time to shower. I came straight from work. Oh, my God.
Not to cut you off, man. Can you please explain? Maybe our listeners don't know what a stink face is. So,
well, stink face is he pulled his trunks down and he was full moon, and his full moon is probably as big as a cow. Thing is, though, he lost a lot of weight now, but I owe you a receipt, El Gran Baby. I haven't forgot. So I'm in the corner, half knocked out, and he proceeds to back up and, like, rubs his derriere in my face.
Oh.
And the bad thing about it is, like I said, he didn't shower, but I think he did it as a rib. He didn't shower.
Man.
And I remember going back, and I was telling Chief, you know, we were representing the World Powers, and I was like, I swear I had his butt oils in my beard for like a week. I was sitting there after the event and I scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed my face and felt a little oil essence on my lips. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. So that, nah, you know what? Now I'm thinking that's probably the, I closed my eyes, so I didn't see the brown eye. But so there's, that's two different grosses on two different levels.
Well, that brown eye might have gave you a little kiss.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think I almost shaved off my whole beard when I got back to the States. Yep, because it was that, I couldn't get right. I shampooed, went to the vets and used dog shampoo, and I used every shampoo I could think of, and I could still smell that Puerto Rican air. I love Puerto Rico, but El Bebe's essence on my beard. But anyways, that's enough talking about.
All right. Well, we'll go on to the next one. We'll move on.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right. We got an email from Tammy J. Tammy, thank you for reaching out to us. What do you think is the most scariest horror movie music of all time?
Oh, that's easy. You want to go first, or you want me to go?
No, I read it to you, brother.
Well, I always had, I guess I was talking with someone, they considered it a horror movie, and I didn't really consider it a horror movie, but when you think about it, it was a horror movie. And this movie I'm thinking of had people so scared, even to taking a bath or going in a swimming pool, is the movie Jaws. Dun-unt, 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 dun-unt. That, to that day, it freaks me out. And if I think about it and I'm in a lake or even a swimming pool and I can't see the bottom, it kind of freaks me out because I think about the Jaws theme music. So that's what I think. That's my pick.
Yep. That one? Yep, I agree 100%. I remember my aunt had a swimming pool. Swimming by yourself or something.
Yep.
Yeah, you just think of that song. It's like,
exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
No, for me, it's Exorcist. That little piano, that they played. And it's like, oh, man.
I can't actually remember. I'm sure I'll be scared because that was a scary movie. I'm gonna have to listen to it again. But yeah, I probably agree with you there too. Because
that's crazy.
Yeah, wow. Good questions. I'm glad we got some great listeners. And we do apologize, but we plan on sticking around.
Well, here, let me play this piano real quick.
All right,
if it'll pick it up.
I heard it.
Can you hear it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just gives me chills because you know that's bad.
Especially if you're in a dark house. I've said it before, but I just remember when we had HBO and I was the only one at the house and I was young. I was probably early teens or preteen or something. I was young. And I remember I was watching The Exorcist, and it got to the part when he was saying FBJC, you know, hitting herself in the bed, right? And the power at the house went out, and I was home alone. That scarred me for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Good pick.
Yeah, cool, man.
All right, here we got one here. Missy Hylton. Wonder if she's related to Missy Hyatt.
Could be.
All right.
Cousin.
Maybe. Okay, your thoughts on people performing magic. Do you think it's real? Talk about Chris Engel, etc.
Gotcha. We have touched on this once before.
Yep.
Not a lot. We haven't gone into detail, but I've watched some Chris Engel, man. It blows me away, dude. Do I think it's real? I'm kind of right. I'm right on the fence, man. You know, I'm leaning to it's more illusion than I don't know. If I can't explain it, I'm not going to criticize it. If you know, unless I really got into it, so it looks real. It looks And I guess that's all that matters, right?
Exactly. Real. I mean, you know, I consider myself a guy of faith. I'm just like you are, you know, and I mean, even watching Americans Got Talent, and I see Simon Cowell freaking out saying that was real magic. I mean, and you know, you've heard the rumors, you know, about, you know, how dark the music industry yep. is, selling their soul, you know, and all that. I mean, I know that that happens and all that. I have an open mind to me think anything's possible. And I don't know if it's like satanic or black magic or what, but I actually think there's actually, I don't know. I don't want to say they're demons or good or bad, but I actually think there's great illusionists. And I actually think there's actually people performing magic in front of people, and they're free to do it. Cause you know, a lot of people are closed minded and don't think out of the box and say, oh, they just think it's illusion and stuff. So I really think Criss Angel may be one of those people. I'm not saying sold his soul or I don't know. He just looks like a guy. I seen this one guy on Chris, one of his earlier shows. And if it's an illusion, it was a great illusion, but he took a guy and he was out in the street corner, and I think this was a black dude or something. He puts a card on his top of his head, card disappears. Then he takes an X-Acto knife and cuts the guy's scalp. And it starts bleeding, and he pulls the knife out. And I was like, the card out. And that freaked me out. And I was like, whoa. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I don't know, man.
Chris Angel does some crazy stuff, man.
He does.
There's no doubt.
I mean, I personally believe that there's people that could perform some kind of real magic. I think they do have some kind of powers. I don't know if it's evil or good, but, you know, to me, anything's possible. I'm always thinking, like we talked before, is the earth round? Do we actually know? I mean, we were taught that. And we can go in deep into NASA. You know, NASA was the Nazis that left Germany, formed NASA. I mean, we could go on and on. So I got an open mind.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Yep. No, I feel like,
well, this,
you know, there's some that you can really see that it's, you know, yeah, not real. Where Chris Angel is definitely, he's the best there is right now. That's mainstream that I've seen.
Well, I think
I'm sure there's probably better out there. I'm sure.
I think the two best, and they're on different levels, is Chris Angel and then Penn and Teller. I love Penn and Teller.
Yeah, see, I'm not followed them much, so.
Well, they have a show called, I forgot what it's called, and they have magicians come on, right? And they got Penn and Teller knows pretty much every trick there is. So you get these magicians on, and they pull the trick, and Penn and Teller has to see if they could figure out if they could do the trick. But what's cool about Penn and Teller is, they won't expose it. They'll talk in codes, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
But if they do, it's called Fool Us. And if they do, if Penn and Teller can't figure it out, a big trophy comes down from the sky and it says, F you, fooled us. And they get a spot on their Vegas show. So it's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
And then at the end, they'll kind of expose. They'll do tricks that expose it, but it turns out to be another trick. And I don't know. I think they're real talented. So I think those awesome. Three are the best. Yeah. Teller never speaks. That's one of his gimmicks. But Chris Angel, yeah. So, yeah, I agree.
But all right.
Anyways.
Perfect.
I think we got, one more?
Yeah, one more. Okay, it's my turn. I'll read it. From Mr. Goodman. Have you ever had a paranormal experience, or know anyone who has?
Oh, I go first.
Oh, that's on you.
Okay.
Oh, well, I read it to you, brother.
Well, okay. Here's one quick one and one kind of lengthy one. I remember when my grandma passed away. There's a whole story behind that. Maybe if I read a book, whatever. I remember everyone sitting in a room, and my grandma's sister was like, she woke up in a dead sleep and says, my sister's dead. Then we got a phone call 2 minutes later saying she passed away. And
wow,
here's another one. I don't know if you believe in guardian angels, but, you know, I got in that car wreck years ago when I was, like, real young. And we're going down, you know, South Tacoma Way towards Pacific. It was me, my dad, and my sister Jamila. She was still in a baby chair. My dad had the station wagon. We're going to go to West Coast Groceries to get groceries. The brakes went out in the car. And I remember the whole time my dad was like, put your seatbelt on. This is back in the day. Remember the seatbelts with the strap on your leg? Just no.
Yep.
So we're going down Pacific, and it was either hit the busy South Tacoma Way, and it's over there by the new mission on South Tacoma Way. You know what I'm talking about? Towards Pacific?
No.
Oh, this is before it was there. My dad swears off.
Oh, yeah, down below, yeah.
Yeah.
As you're dropping downtown?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
My dad swears off and goes up into the brush because he didn't want to hit the, you know, the traffic down there. And I think the car rolled, and a tree stopped us. And, of course, I flew from the back seat, and my face got stuck right in the windshield. It was like a double-glass windshield. And my dad takes my sister and tosses her out the door. She lands in sticker bushes. She only got a couple scratches. He thought the car was going to blow. And he takes his hand, and he starts punching the window to get my face out. And I was bleeding. I had over 100 stitches, you know, in my face. They stopped counting at 100. And they didn't know if I could see or anything. You know, they bandaged my thing up. But out of the blue, some guy comes behind us, stops, picks us up. I remember racing. I'm in the back seat. He gives my dad some Kleenex and rushed down to the hospital and got me there. Or, you know, who knows? I probably could have passed or something. And then my dad turns around. I thanked the guy, and the guy was gone. Never heard from him ever again. So, I don't know. To me, I think maybe that was my guardian angel.
Well, that's cool.
Yep. How about you?
That's a good answer.
How about you?
As far as guardian angels are, you know, paranormal, you know, I haven't had a whole lot in my life. You know, I've had a few sightings, you know, a few, you know, ghostly sightings. At least it could have been my mind playing tricks on me, you know. Seen a lady pushing a stroller down the road in the middle of the night, and we turned around, went back, and she was kind of glowing. It was glowing, and me and my buddies were just like, "What the heck is this?" We were on Yakima, right? Oh. About 108th in Yakima, so
okay,
like by the Tipperary Tavern, right there, uh-huh, in that bend right there. We saw her, and it was like she was kind of glowing. Like, what the heck is that? And we turned around, went back. We're driving our old Volkswagen, and she wasn't there. So that was. I don't think I've shared that one with you before.
But no,
like, man, that's a crazy one there. Yeah. So
wow,
that's probably the. I'm not going to share any of my old stuff with you, but yeah, that's. I'll share that one with you.
Wow.
And as far as the guardian angel, you know, my mom, you know, she was dying years back, and you know, she was like right before my birthday.
Uh-huh.
And her birthday was on, you know, 3 days before mine. So she was like in a bad way, you uh-huh know, and she waited to pass away till after my birthday was over. And
wow,
they kept telling me, she waited for you to not ruin your,
yep,
you
yep
know, they,
that's
the
awesome.
And everybody were telling me, so yeah, I was with her and it was pretty cool. So,
that's awesome.
You know? Yeah. So
awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
It may be irrelevant to what the question was, but
yeah. No, I mean, that's cool.
It's on my heart, man.
That is. That's awesome. Yeah.
So
wow.
But that's it for the emails this week.
Yep. Well, shoot. Should we get to wrap this show up and play our treat and give our shout outs?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I'll do my shout outs first. I'm going to shout out to Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels. Check out Vince on Facebook and online. If you're here in the Boise area and need some doggy daycare or some dog boarding or even cat boarding, check them out. They got great rates and it's a good service. So check out Vince, Emerald Street Kennels. And then I want to say what's up to Defla. Defla at his new store coming up here at Debashi's Market coming up. Can't wait. I'm excited for him. So I want to shout out to Dave.
Thank you.
Get that store up and going. Do your thing. And then, of course, Sweet and Low Upholstery. I want to shout out to those people that have not been open here recently, but hopefully within the next month or two, they'll be back up and doing some stitching.
Yeah, because so stitching is bitching.
All right. That's it for me this week.
All right. Well, I want to give a shout out to Tales from the Abyss, Jay Linderman, and Pa Hurojo. You can get Lyrical Spit, my other podcasts, and Murky Chronicles on all major podcast platforms and at lyricalspit.com. And for all the show links, go to lyricalspit.com. And we have a 24-hour hotline if you want to drop us a message, 360-200-8779. Leave a message, and you may just be here on the show. And don't forget the best tagline from Sweet and Low Upholstery. Their stitching is bitching. And can't wait to open up Debashi's Neighborhood Corner Store. Be a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame museum. You know, a bunch of, who knows what's going to happen. It should be a great vibe. You never know. Maybe Gorgeous Kenny Roberts might show up to the store and bring a receipt.
Oh, yeah.
But
and then maybe after that, we can do a live Murky Chronicles.
Yep, right there in the store, in my office, live, right there on 721 South I Street, Tacoma, Washington, 98405. Yeah. Oh, anyways, I was in my own. Anyways, that's about it. I guess, you know, anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, you know, enjoy this from 1964 Golden Records. This is the full vinyl record, At Home with the Munsters, A Night with TV's Most Unusual Family. Hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. And if she has an apple, she has a banana.
Banana.
When you are walking the street at night, and behind you there's no one in view, but you hear mysterious feet at night, then the monsters are following you. If you should meet this strange family, just forget what some people have said. The monsters may shake your hand clammily, but they're not necessarily dead. Behind their house you mustn't be afraid to see a figure digging with a spade. Perhaps someone didn't quite make the grade with the monsters, with the monsters. If when you're sleeping you dream a lot, ghoulish nightmares parade through your head, and then you wake up and scream a lot, oh, the monsters are under your bed. At midnight a creature should prowl about, and if vampires and vultures swoop down, and werewolves and fiends shriek and howl about, why, the monsters are out on the town. One night I dare peek through their window screen, white at such a crazy scene, because every evening is Halloween at the Munsters, at the Munsters.
Hi there. How do you do? I'm your new neighbor, Herman Munster. So very nice of you to call. Down, Spot, down. Spot. Down, boy. Scat. Spotty gets so excited when we have company. Won't you come in? Ah, fine. Why are you staring at me like that? I mean, haven't you ever seen a person with green skin before? Or did I bolt my head on crooked this morning? Oh. Oh, I bet you're always nervous when you meet new people. Well, that's very understandable. But you know, shyness can be carried too far. Now, you take our mailman. When I think of how shy he is, I positively shudder. Instead of coming to our front door with the mail, he just throws it over the fence and runs. So untidy. But I guess I shouldn't complain. You know, it takes all kinds of people to make a world.
Some folks like sweets and honey, and weather bright and sunny. Well, it takes all kinds of people to make a world. It's kooky and it's zany, not to like it when it's rainy. But it takes all kinds of people to make a world. I only go out walking when it's dark as pitch, the kind of night that's oh so right for man or witch. It's positively eerie when folks are bright and cheery. Well, it takes all kinds of people to make a world. It's positively eerie when folks are bright and cheery. Well, it takes all kinds of people, yes, very funny people. It takes all kinds of people to make a world.
Well now, let's not stand here. Why don't we both go in the living room? Here we are. Now, take a chair. Oh, no, not that one. That's an antique we bought at the prison surplus store. Let me sit down and show you how it works. Now, my arms go here. And my legs here. There now. I'm all strapped in. Now, to turn it on, you just pull that switch right there. Here we go. Ready? Pull. Ooh, that feels good. Oh, oh, it's amazing how 10,000 volts can relax a body.
Herman, where are you?
Oh, that's Mrs. Munster. Right here, dear. We have a visitor.
Oh, who is it, Herman?
Just a little friend of mine who happened to drop by.
How nice. I'm always dying to meet new people, and everyone is always welcome at the Munsters. When you're passing by the Munsters, you will give us such a thrill if you'll just walk up and knock upon our door. It's a lovely place to visit if you've got some time to kill, and it's not like any house you've seen before. Out in the back, the wolves are howling. Shrieking bats fly overhead. And when we give a party, we really give a party. It's guaranteed enough to wake the dead. Don't wait to be invited. Step right up and give a knock. Oh, so lightly and politely on our door. We'll be happy and delighted if we hear your gentle knock. Oh, so lightly and politely on our door. Oh, so lightly and politely on our door. Come in.
Oh. Oh, that was very nice of you, Lily, to make our friend feel at home. Now, why don't you introduce our guest to some of our pets?
Oh, I'd just love to. Let's go over here and meet the raven who lives in our clock. Lots of folks have a cuckoo clock, but we have the only raven clock in town. Raven, come out here and meet someone. I said, come on out, Raven. When are you going to start doing what you're told?
Nevermore! Nevermore!
That bird is getting fresher every day.
I know. If there's anything I can't stand, it's a smart aleck raven.
Say, Lily, maybe our guest would like to meet our kitty cat.
Why, of course. Here he is lying on the sofa. Just listen to him purr. If you rub his ears, he'll meow for you. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. There, wasn't that cute? You're a nice little kitty, aren't you? Kitty likes visitors. Maybe the next time you come over, you can bring a friend.
And if you can't find a friend, we'll help you dig one up.
Speaking of digging, Herman, our guest hasn't met Grandpa yet.
Oh, well, we can go meet him right now.
Good. Oh, and while you and your visitor go down in the dungeon, I'll see if I can find some cookies or something in the kitchen. I just might have some warm lady figures in the oven. See you soon.
Well, so, if you're ready to meet Grandpa, let's open up this trap door and drop in. Come on, follow me. Right down these stone steps. Oh, be careful. They might be slippery. Grandpa always keeps it comfortably damp down here. Grandpa? Grandpa? I don't see him. Oh, there's his pet bat, Igor. But I wonder where Grandpa is. Say, let's look over here. I see he left one of his experiments on the front Bunsen burner. Let's take the lid off this cauldron and see what's cooking. Must be a new batch of vulture noodle soup. I wonder if...
Looking for someone?
Grandpa, now look what you made me do. I dropped that iron lid. You know how it frightens me when you appear out of nowhere like that.
I'm so sorry, Herman.
Well, you might have scared me right out of my skin. And you know how hard it is for me to get back into it again. And you stop laughing, Igor. It is not funny.
Boy, who's your friend, Herman?
Oh, this? This is someone who dropped in to see us.
How do you do? And welcome to Grandpa's little playroom. You can usually find me hanging around down here. Yes, Igor. Yes, I know. You and I hang around together. But be quiet while I show our guest around. Now, you see, some people call this my den, or my cave, or my dungeon. But I call it my laboratory. It's a hard word to spell, but it sounds so scientific. Here's Grandpa's laboratory. Now, come on and follow me. I'll show you mystic magic things from A right through to Z. Now, A is for abracadabra, a magic word I know. Now, B is for those friendly bats all hanging in a row. C is for my cauldron that's bubbling on the fire. And D's for dark and dismal, two words that I admire. E is for electric chair, my very favorite seat. And F's for Friday the 13th, a day that can't be beat. A G is for ghosts and goblins. Each night here they hold sway. And H, of course, means Halloween. Ooh, that happy holiday. Now, I is for a human, like a demon or a ghoul. And J is for Jack the Ripper. I knew him all through school. Now, K is for our kitty, who prowls around at night. And L's for flashing lightning. Oh, what a pretty sight. Now, M stands for the Munsters, a fun group, one and all. And N is for the nighttime, when creatures creep and crawl. O is for the wise old owl, who lives in our treetop. And P's for poison ivy, we've grown a lovely crop. Now, Q is for slimy quicksand, I'm sure you would have guessed. And R is for the raven, who makes our clock his nest. S is for this skeleton, whose eyes stare into space. And T is for Transylvania, my very favorite place. Now U is for the undertaker, a friend who let you down. And V, well, V's for vampire, there's just a few in town. Now W's for witchcraft, at which I'm quite a pro. And X, X marks the spot, that's Eddie's pet, you know. Now, Y is for a yard out back, which I really dig the most. And Z, it stands for a zombie. That's for his cousin to a ghost. Now, that completes our dungeon tour. I'm glad you came along. Oh, we've covered the whole alphabet in Grandpa's little song. Oh, but Grandpa's rather sleepy from working in the lab. So if you'll please excuse me. I think I'll hit the slab.
Thank you, Grandpa. And now, if you're going to take a nap, I think I'll take our friend upstairs to meet Eddie.
Okay. And any time you want to hear my alphabet poem again, just open my trap door. Drop in.
Grandpa and his corny jokes. You want to know something? He didn't write that poem at all. He has a ghostwriter. Yeah, well, anyway. Come on, we'll go upstairs to Eddie's room. Now we'll open the trap door. Now there. Here we are in the living room. Oh, just a minute. Got to close the trap door. Darn. I shouldn't have let it slam. Every time I do, it breaks the dishes in the house across the street. Well, come on, let's go up to Eddie's room, the back way. Through the dining room. Through this door. Now, past the kitchen. Oh, well, Mrs. Munster must be fixing oxtail soup for lunch. Well, now, here we go, up the stairs. Now, down this hall. And I open this door, and we go in here. What did you say? This isn't a regular door? It's a door in a grandfather's clock? Well, of course it is. You see, it's kind of a secret way to get to Eddie's room through the grandfather's clock. Take my hand and follow me. Oh, say, watch out for that swinging pendulum. We have to go through between ticks. It's very annoying if it hits you on the head. But, of course, I've been through here so many times that it never... Oh, that smarts. Oh, well, come on, let's hurry through the secret panel in the back. Well, here we are in Eddie's room. Eddie? Son, where are you?
Here I am, Pop. I'm doing my homework.
Oh, yes. Well, Eddie, come right down off that chandelier and meet this new friend of mine.
Okay, I'll be right down. Hi, I'm real glad to meet you, even if your ears don't come to a point.
Eddie, that's very rude of you to comment on our visitor's ears. Now you apologize this instant and say you're sorry.
Okay, I'm very sorry that you don't have pointed ears.
That's better.
I'm really sorry for anyone who doesn't have pointed ears and nice sharp fangs, because I've had them all my life, and I have more fun than any kid I know.
I'd hate to look like every other child looks, and have the kind of face most folks admire. With pointed ears and fangs I may get wild looks, but I really love the comments I inspire. Is that a werewolf, people ask with apprehension? And who's that little vampire, some folks say? A face like mine attracts so much attention. I just wish everyone was born this way. All my friends, their brothers and their sisters, should sprinkle water on their ears to make them grow. 'Cause with mine, when I install transistors, I can tune in programs like a radio. Yes, my fangs and ears are really my best features. With my hair combed like Count Dracula, you see. And I really pity all you other creatures who never will grow up. Who never will grow up. Who never will grow up to look like me.
Well, now, thank you very much, Eddie. I'm sure our friend appreciates the beautiful Munster philosophy in that little song. And now, Eddie, I think you'd better get back up in the chandelier and finish your homework.
Okay, Pop. Goodbye.
Goodbye, son. And now come with me. Oh, no, not that way. We are not going through the grandfather clock again. My head still smarts. I'll just push open this secret panel here in the wall. Now, let's see now. Which panel is it that opens? I always have to rap on the wall. When you hear the hollow sound, you know that is the secret panel. Here, this must be the one. Now, to open it, I just push with my hand and... Oopsie-daisy, wrong panel. Well, we might as well go through here anyway. It leads to the hall. Just take my hand and follow me. They certainly don't build walls the way they used to. Well, here we are in the hall. We'll just go downstairs and... Oh, you hear that? Listen. That's my niece Marilyn humming to herself in her room. The poor girl is so unattractive with her big blue eyes and blonde hair and her peaches and cream complexion that she's ashamed to go out and be seen. And you know I don't blame her. Let's open a door and see what the unfortunate girl is saying to herself. But be very quiet. Shh, shh, shh.
When will I find a boy for me? I'm blue and sad as a girl can be. I want to cry, 'cause the fact is I am not like the rest of the family. Aunt Lily's hair is long and black. Like cobwebs down her back. Uncle Herman's face has poise and grace, but the charms of the Munsters are what I lack. The boys I meet are sweet and gallant till they come to call. Then they see me next to my uncle and aunt and dive right over the garden wall. I long for love so hopefully, but a wedding gown is not for me. My name is Mud and I'm just a dud, 'cause I'm not like the rest of the family.
Well, no, oh goodness, no, let's close the door. You know, it's really very sad about Marilyn, but I guess having a family as handsome and attractive as we Munsters are would make any girl feel plain and unattractive. Well, I guess maybe I better get you home now. Your parents might be worried about you. So, here we go, right down the front stairs. It was certainly very nice of you to drop in. Oh, say, I want to warn you about these stairs. There's a loose step here, and if you don't know about it like I do, you're liable to... Oh!
Herman, I was wondering if you... Oh, Herman... Get up off the floor. You're always such a show-off when we have company.
Well, I'm sorry, Lily. Well, our guest has seen the whole house and is ready to go home now.
Oh, fine. I hope you enjoyed your visit to the Munsters, and please come again soon.
Very soon. Let me open the door for you. Now, don't forget, any time you're passing by, we'd love to have you drop in. Just use this big door knocker, like this.
When you're passing by the Munsters, you will give us such a thrill if you'll just walk up and knock upon our door.
It's a lovely place to visit if you've got some time to kill, and it's not like any house you've seen before. Out in back, the wolves are howling.
Shrieking bats fly overhead.
And when we give a party,
we really give a party.
It's guaranteed enough to wake the dead. Don't wait to be invited. Simply step right up and knock. Oh, so lightly and politely on our door.
We'll be happy and delighted if we hear your gentle knock.
Oh, so lightly and politely on our door.
Oh, so lightly and politely on our door.
Hi there. This is Herman Munster. Now, I guess all of you have your favorite Munster story, but I thought you might like to hear mine. Well, it began one day when little Eddie came home from school very excited because all the other kids kept bragging about the camping trips their parents took them on. Well, Lily, Grandpa, and I agreed that a camping trip would be fun, and I thought it'd be a great idea for the Munsters to go out and meet nature face to face. Our niece Marilyn had to stay home and study for exams, but the next morning, Eddie and Grandpa and Lily and I loaded our car with tents and fishing poles and camping equipment, and even some snowshoes and water skis. Grandpa, of course, insisted on taking his electric chair along. It was really a nuisance, but Grandpa gets such a charge out of it. Anyway, we drove out of town and hit the highway for Shadow Pine Lake, a beautiful spot in the National Forest. When we stopped at the park entrance to get our camping permit, the two rangers there must not have been feeling very well, because when we gave them the money for the permit, they looked positively green. But they let us through anyway, and we found a beautiful campsite at the edge of Shadow Pine Lake. While I was pitching the tent, Grandpa complained about me pounding the stakes. Can you imagine? He said it gave him heartburn. But I finally got the tent pitched, and sure enough, Lily complained that I had put it in the wrong spot. She wanted it in the shade of a nearby tree. So the only thing I could do was to move it. Whew, I tell you, those giant redwood trees are rather heavy. But I finally moved this one to a spot that suited Lily, and we settled down for a nice weekend of camping. Eddie, of course, right away wanted to catch some fish, so I showed him how to cast the line from the shore. And you know, it was really great fishing, because in a minute I reeled in this beautiful cooked fish that looked as though it had just come out of the frying pan. And the next time I cast a line, I reeled in a very tasty barbecued chicken. And I told Lily and Grandpa this was the greatest fishing spot I'd ever seen. Well, that night, after Eddie had gone to bed and closed the lid on his sleeping bag, Grandpa, Lily, and I sat around the campfire telling stories. And while we were sitting there, we heard some wolves howling in the woods. And Grandpa got very homesick for the old country. In fact, when we went to bed, he insisted on staying up a little while longer to listen to the call of the wild. And you know something? Next morning, when we looked for Grandpa, he was missing. And his sleeping bag hadn't even been slept in. As we were trying to figure out what to do, Eddie turned on his portable radio, and the news reports said that the forest rangers had captured a full-grown wolf during the night. Well, what made it so unusual was that the wolf was a rare species that only lived in the wilds of Transylvania. Well, you could see what had happened. Sure. Grandpa couldn't resist the call of the wild, and in the night he must have turned himself into a wolf to join his friends in the woods. The radio said the wolf was being held at the ranger headquarters. But when Lily went there, she had a great deal of trouble. She told the man that she'd come to claim the wolf, and he said, "Do you mean it's your wolf?" And Lily said, "No, it's my father." Well, for some reason or other, the forest ranger thought this was rather strange, but he did agree to let Lily go out back and look at the wolf they'd captured during the night. When Lily saw Grandpa standing in that cage on all fours, she was really angry. And especially angry when she found out that the forest rangers would not let her take Grandpa home with her. They said this particular wolf was in the care of the park department and was being shipped to the New York Zoo the next day. Now, when Lily came back to the camp and told me this story, I realized it was time for me to spring into action. So, that night, I sneaked back to park headquarters and found Grandpa's cage. There he was, sitting there and scratching the back of his neck with his hind leg, just as though nothing had happened. Well, I was so angry, I picked up Grandpa by the scruff of the neck and carried him back to camp. And you know what? It turned out that Grandpa had forgotten how to change himself back into a person.
So, when we finally got home to Mockingbird Lane, I gave the wolf a drink from a mixture in Grandpa's lab. It was a magic mixture. It was supposed to de-wolf him. Well, Grandpa lapped it up, but you know, nothing happened. He kept right on being a wolf. While we were wondering what to do, a stray cat ran past the window and Grandpa chased it across the front yard. That's when the de-wolfing potion took effect. And all of a sudden, there was Grandpa, his old self, running across the lawn on all fours. And you know something? He didn't remember a thing that happened, and when he asked what happened, Lily and Eddie and I decided we just didn't have the heart to tell him. Oh, say, by the way, I hope if he ever asks you, you won't tell him either. You see, he might think it was so much fun he'd want to do it all over again.
This is Lily Munster, and I think my favorite Munster story concerns the time Herman bought himself a two-way shortwave radio. Oh, he just loved it, and he got so excited, trying to talk to other ham operators and ships at sea. Herman even had the nerve to sing on his radio, and another ham operator in Australia cut him off right in the middle of my mother's eyes. Well, everything was fine until two boys in the neighborhood, Roger and Walt, got a two-way walkie-talkie and began to play a game, pretending they were flying saucer pilots talking to their home base on Mars. Now, when Herman tuned in on the conversation between these two boys, he believed every word they said. He thought they were real Martians. Herman cut in, telling them that he was talking from planet Earth. Of course, the spacemen, Roger and Walt, thought Herman was some other boy with a walkie-talkie joining in the game. They told Herman they had to return to Mars, but said they would contact planet Earth again tomorrow at the same time. Well, Herman is such a trusting soul. He was sure he'd been talking to actual spacemen. I told him it couldn't be true. But he wouldn't listen to me. The next day, Herman got even more excited when the two spacemen told him that they had made an actual landing on the planet Earth with their flying saucer. Herman wanted to contact the Air Force immediately and report an unidentified flying object, but Grandpa said they'd have to have some real evidence first. Well, Grandpa got out his old radio direction finder from the laboratory, and he and Herman went out that night trying to track down the spacemen's ship. That direction finder led them all over town. And finally, it led them to the vacant lot. There in the moonlight were Roger and Walt, with their toy spaceship. But leave it to my Herman to mistake them for real Martians. When Herman and Grandpa spoke to the children, the two boys took off like a streak. Herman said to Grandpa, I guess they're not used to Earth people. Anyway, before they left, Grandpa and Herman took a photograph of the spaceship as proof for the Air Force. When the Air Force saw the picture, they said they would check into it and see if it was really a flying saucer. Well, you know Herman. The next day, he couldn't wait to get on that ham radio again. But Roger had told his father what had happened the night before and about the big wise guy kid who was stringing them along on the walkie-talkie. So, when Herman got on the radio, Roger's father answered, and Herman said, "Is this the head Martian?" And Roger's father said it sure was. And if he ever met the Earth creature face to face, he would break his arm off and shove it down his throat. Of course, Herman was frightened. You know what a big coward he is. And he told Roger's father on the radio, "You don't even know who I am, and you'll never find me. Yeah, so there." This made Roger's father very angry. And he told Herman he really was the head Martian, and just for that he would have to blow up the Earth. Herman quickly shut off the radio, and shaking like a leaf, he ran upstairs screaming, "The world is coming to an end, and it's all my fault!" And to show you how scared he was, do you know what that Herman did next? He jammed Marilyn and little Eddie and me into our hall closet to hide us all, and to wait for the world to come to an end. Can you imagine anything so silly? Well, luckily, Grandpa showed up with a report from the Air Force. After checking the photograph, they told him the flying saucer from Mars was just a toy that was sold in every department store in the country. And you should have been there to see the expression on Herman's face when he looked at the picture. And there, printed right on the spaceship, were the words, "Made in Japan." I tell you, after this, the only things I'm going to let Herman listen to on the radio are the weather reports.
Well, here I am again, old Grandpa Munster, back in his laboratory. Say, did you ever see your mother watching those cooking shows on television? I'm sure you have. Well, I thought it would be fun if I showed you what was cooking down here in my dungeon by making one of my favorite recipes for you. I'm going to show you how to make a batch of Grandpa's do-it-yourself magic potion. Now, first, you need a plain, ordinary witch's cauldron like this. Now, I open my mystical magic cookbook containing all sorts of spells, potions, magic, and assorted feats of legerdemain. Legerdemain, that's a very expensive word that means magic. In fact, it's so expensive, I can hardly ever afford to use it. But for you, nothing is too good. So I'll say it again. Medjerdemain. You know, I've got news for you. It's not only expensive, it's impossible to pronounce. I just can't say legerdemain at all. Well, to begin the recipe for Grandpa's do-it-yourself magic potion, first we need the ingredients. Do you know what ingredients are? Ingredients are the stuff that when you don't have any, you can't use to make anything out of. Or something like that. So, now that my witch's cauldron is all ready, let's put in the first ingredient. 1 spoonful of well-seasoned, powdered nightingale's tongues. Here they are in this bottle. Let me take the cork out. Listen to that. These nightingale's tongues aren't well-seasoned at all. They're still chirping. I'd better put them back to age a few hundred years longer. Instead of nightingale's tongues, I'll pour in some magic Transylvanian swamp water, about a gallon's worth. Say, that's fresh from the swamp, all right. If you drank that stuff, you'd really have a frog in your throat. Now, a half a pint of roast beef gravy. Well, I mean, if we're going to make a magic potion, there's no law against making it taste good. You know, I had to go out in the woods and catch 4 full-grown wild roast beefs to get that little bit of gravy. Well, now, let's see. The next ingredient. It says here, 1 pinch of powdered toadstools picked at midnight under a full moon in a graveyard that's haunted by ghosts that are members in good standing of the Graveyard Haunting Ghosts Union Local Number 702. Well, I just happen to have a whole jar full of that. There. Now, 1 pinch of salt and 1 pinch of wolfbane. Oh! Wow! Oops. Sorry. I guess I pinched a wolfbane too hard. Now, let's see what else the recipe calls for in this magic potion. Oh, yes. A sprinkling of stardust. A shaker full of happy dust. Oh, that dust is not just happy. It's hilarious. Now, some powdered unicorn horn. You know, it's very hard to get unicorn horn. Oh, it's easy to get candy corn or a rose bush thorn, but it's very hard to get unicorn corn. Now, let's see. Oh, yes, a pillow full of chicken feathers. A reverse gear out of an Essex. I'll drop that in. 3 drops of a woman's tears, and the final ingredient, a gallon of water from Niagara Falls. Now, that's everything, and I have it all mixed together in the witch's cauldron. You won't believe this, but some people tell me it's dangerous to fool around with magic potions and mixtures. And they say, if you mix up the wrong chemicals, you'll get an explosion. Well, just to show you that nothing like this could ever happen to old Grandpa Munster, I'm going to light a fire under this cauldron like this. There we are. And now I'm going to stir it all up with this paddle. To prove that this mixture is the safest thing that anyone could... Well, so much for Grandpa's do-it-yourself magic potion. Would you excuse me while I look in the yellow pages for someone to scrape me off the wall?
Happy ending today.
Woo!
Yowie!
Zoinks!
Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.